The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore and the heart and soul of professional wrestling, Tommy Dreamer, and I get all in on Cody leaving AEW. Cody Rhodes, Brandi Rhodes, no longer with AEW. I get Tommy's take on what's going on with Cody and Brandi Rhodes. And speaking of AEW, Austin and Colton Gunn, that's right, the boys, join us right here on Busted Open. Podcast. Tommy, when the news came down yesterday, were you shocked that Cody and Brandi are no longer with AEW?
Shocked? It takes a lot to shock me. It takes a lot to shock Bully, because we've experienced so much in the wrestling industry. There's been a few times where I've been like shocked. This was not one of them. I'm not happy about it. I understand it. And I think a lot of people need to understand it too. There's times where I would say that they're at a crossroads. And when you're at a crossroads, especially with business, it's hard. This marketplace right now that we're currently experiencing is, there was a point before pre-pandemic where I would say everybody's stock and value was up because we're trying to draw bigger houses. There's competition on the horizon with this new thing called AEW, and a lot of men and women got signed, and a lot of men and women got signed at higher rates because there was, you know, I don't want to say a bidding war, but the time, if you remember, wasn't that long ago, WWE was hiring everybody. And it was, you either went to WWE or now you're hearing about this thing called AEW. Once, you know, we have the press conference and now the ball is rolling and free agents are jumping, just because they're doing better for themselves or looking for a different opportunity that they're not getting in WWE. Things, you know, like that happened. I mean, well, who was the first? Shawn Spears was probably one of the first guys to jump from WWE to AEW. Anyway, when you're dealing with business, again, business is hard. There's personal and there's professional. Is there a lot left in Cody Rhodes, the performer in AEW? Yes. Is there a lot more for Brandi Rhodes in AEW? Yes. But then it also, you know, if it comes down to money, if it comes down to, I don't want to say personal happiness because everyone seemed to be personally happy there. So if it's just a money number, then, you know, both sides were very, very amicable. I'm hoping that, listen, I see greatness in Cody no matter what Cody does, and the same with his wife. There's also sit back and enjoy your time with your child, though he wasn't working the schedule that he was used to working. and you sit back and see what happens. If you're gonna totally analyzing it pre-pandemic, the options are a lot bigger for him. How in the current world, if it's you're gonna go to WWE, it's a crapshoot. If I was Cody, I would actually go to New Japan first. And I would look at the success of an AJ Styles, a success of the other, of a Chris Jericho, and become that, you know, IWGP heavyweight champion and continue to increase his stock, because Cody increased his stock from his time from WWE to the Indies, then to AEW. If WWE was smart, they would pick him up and use him. And a lot of, and when I say use him, not use him in the mid card, kind of where he was, he's been a proven draw. He's been a proven valuable babyface. He could also, you know, I don't want to say lead a revolution against the WWE. That's a storyline you could go. There's a lot of places you can go, but if you look at the success of a Bobby Lashley, if you look at the success of a Drew McIntyre, they were told go out and get yourself over somewhere else and maybe we'll do business again. Cody Rhodes got himself over, and if they want to do that business again, they do it again. If not, I also think he's okay for now, and just sit back and, you know, don't rush your options. You don't need to jump on a great place to debut would be WrestleMania with a hell of a push and tide. And also when you're dealing with, you know, I don't want to say, because it doesn't happen, but have a little bit of creative control. If they say they'll do it is one thing. If it's in a contract, it's another.
I gotta be honest with you. I hate the fact that Cody's not going to be with AEW any longer. I can't pull any punches when it comes to that. And listen, you know, Cody has been a friend of this show dating back to his days with the WWE. One of the first interviews that I did here on Busted Open was with Cody when he was part of the Legacy with Randy Orton and DiBiase. That's going all the way back to 2009, Tommy. And you look at his WWE career, there were some highs and there were a lot of lows. And he was one of those guys that, I mean, he was not a main eventer. And then he got stuck with a gimmick that I wasn't a big fan of and a lot of people weren't fan of, and that's Stardust. And then when Dusty passed away and Cody came back, we all thought that we were going to get a different Cody. And instead, the WWE brought back the Stardust character. And it just wasn't – it was unbelievable. And I was a fan of Cody in the WWE, but I got to be honest with you, Tommy, since he's left the WWE, it's gone to another level. There was a certain former host on this show that said Cody is a homegrown WWE wrestler. He'll never be able to make it outside the world of the WWE. And I said, you know what? You're wrong. He will. And I couldn't have been more right. And I'm not patting myself on the back. But whether it was on the indie scene, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, New Japan, and of course AEW, the moments that Cody has given us over the last, what, Tommy, 6 years, maybe? It's been some of the best matches and best moments that I can think possible over the last 6 or 7 years. You know, the list that he put out, you know, his time with Ring of Honor, what he was able to do with Nick Aldis at All In and winning the NWA Championship, to the match that he had against his brother Dustin at the first AEW pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, before Dynamite even started. The moonsault off the top of the cage against Wardlow, you know, going through the flaming table. You know, Cody has had some amazing moments in the ring. And then obviously, Tommy, you know better than anybody how brilliant Cody is creatively outside the ring. I think this is a big hit to AEW. And when I look at the WWE, what could Cody do for the WWE? I don't know, but I know what he was able to do for AEW. I just hope it's good for all parties involved. But I do worry a little bit, Tommy, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not, because you just mentioned he should go
to a New Japan first before doing anything else. I agree with you because I am a little nervous and a little afraid of Cody Rhodes back in the WWE.
It is hard to change Vince McMahon's perception. If he sees you as one thing, though you may be a different performer, he may still see you as that same type of performer. Cody is a star. Cody is a main eventer. Everything that you said about Cody is 100% true. I think of his, you know, you're only as good as your last performance. That ladder match that he had upped the ladder match game.
Yep.
Big time. I know, you know, he has his own reality show. He's also on, you know, the Big Show show. So again, a proven commodity. I'm sure he could get on heels the second season. So I think he has other options that he doesn't have to right away dive into professional wrestling unless it's a massive, massive spot that, hey, we need this. You kind of got to look from that way. Is he a homegrown WWE guy? He started in developmental, yes. But I mean, Cody is second generation trained, you know, by one of the best in his father. And he's been around this business his whole life. He understands the business. Another thing that Cody did well was elevate his opponents. You look at the work that he did with Aleister Black. You look at the work he did with a QT Marshall.
Yep.
Made those guys bigger stars. And that is a key thing, but you don't want that in WWE because then you become that guy, the guy who makes other people stars. So it'll be an interesting tell. You also got to know that you go there. You're no longer playing with the same rules, and he understands that because he's, like I said, he's been part of the system. You may have to eat a little poo-poo going back, and you have to swallow that poo-poo and say, I like that poo-poo. It tastes great. Doesn't taste like poo-poo. You got to do it with a smile on your face. That's why I said maybe a New Japan or maybe just sit back and chill. I mean, the Go Big show, don't know if he'll have his second reality show because I don't know if that was a big tie-in with AEW. But look at the success that people have had with their own reality shows within the WWE, Miz and Maryse, the Bellas. So there's when you're doing contracts and contract negotiations, you got to think that way in WWE as well. Well, hey, you have your own network called the Peacock Network. Hey, I have my own reality show with my wife. Did decent numbers. Can we do this? So it'll be interesting. Dave, when I say it sucks that he isn't there, yes, as a performer, but understand and he gets this because it's the business. And that's the business of professional sports. For every Patriots diehard fan, did they want to see Tom Brady play for the Bucks? No, but they supported Tom Brady. For Green Bay Packers, let's talk about Brett Favre. We're probably going to get in that same situation with Aaron Rodgers. And Brett Favre didn't finish his career with the Packers. He played with the Jets and the Vikings. I'm watching on Peacock a documentary about Joe Montana. Oh, yeah, remember Joe Montana, that great 49er quarterback who's the original GOAT before it was called a GOAT? He finished his career in Kansas City. It happens, man. It happens. It's the unfortunate part of this business. I think all parties were very, very respectful in their statements.
They were.
And I don't see this as a malicious thing. I just see this as a pure business thing.
I get it, but you got to understand the perception. And like when I talked to you, Tommy, when I was talking to Bully yesterday, you guys are wrestlers. You guys are there. You're in it. You're involved. You're in the back. You're in the locker room. You're in the ring. But I'm a fan watching it. Don't forget, like, for the lack of a better term, you know, Cody was, would you say, a mid-carder with the WWE? Is that fair? Not to label, but would you... If you were going to put a label on Cody, is that a fair label to put on Cody when he was with the WWE, that he was in the mid card?
Mid to upper card, you know, Intercontinental Champion, Tag Team Champion, part of a group, never given the opportunity, because if he was given that opportunity, he would be a top guy.
Yes. But he did.
And listen, he looks good. He's good looking. He can cut a promo. He can get you. He's a great storyteller. He's excellent in the ring. Should he have been given that opportunity? Yes. Was he given that opportunity? Not to the best of his ability. So if they give him that opportunity, you have that star. Dave, you're a massive Dallas Cowboys fan, right?
Yeah.
How much do you love Emmitt Smith?
I loved Emmitt Smith.
Great. Do you remember when he had his retirement ceremony when he was a Cowboy in his last game and he went out with his hand, you know, and rode off in the sunset after the Super Bowl?
No, because he finished his career with the Arizona Cardinals.
There you go. It sucks.
No, but follow me, Tommy, on this one, because it is a little bit different. Because, and I think it might have even been his father, right, that gave him the advice, if you're not happy, go bet on yourself, right? I mean, I think Dusty even kind of gave – did he give him that advice, or am I wrong in saying that? That it was like – but Cody did. He went out there, and he reestablished himself. And then he started the revolution. I mean, he's the one that coined that phrase with AEW. This is a revolution. And, you know, he was the one in that first AEW pay-per-view to take that sledgehammer to the throne, kind of like, you know, that was like Triple H's kind of thing. And he did that, and the place went nuts. I always looked at Cody as the face of AEW, the founding member of AEW. That's why I couldn't wrap my head around this, because I know he was more than just a wrestler with AEW. He was an executive with AEW. He was the guy that gave us, you know, along with Tony Khan and the Bucks and Kenny Omega. But even when I think of AEW and the emergence of AEW, I think of two people. I think of Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes. So those are the two people I think of. And because of Cody, we got All In, right? You know, the first time that there was over 10,000 people at a wrestling event outside of WWE for almost two decades. And then you get him winning the NWA championship, or Rhodes winning the NWA championship. And then AEW, that revolution, it was like the anti-WWE. It was like an alternative to the WWE. He's the guy waving the flag. And it worked. And it succeeded. National TV. And then, you know, it kind of became, in my head as a fan, Tommy, it was like Cody versus Triple H, AEW versus NXT, and AEW won. And now NXT is completely different than it was. To me, the guy who is like on the lead horse in front of everybody with waving the flag, to me, that guy was Cody. I know Tony Khan owned the horses and everything else, but Cody was that guy. I'm sorry, Tommy. It's hard for me to wrap around my brain that Cody is no longer with AEW. And Brandy, too. You know, Brandy Officer and, you know, everything else that came along with that, too. It was a shock to me yesterday. A shock.
Well, I mean, we're both two 50-year-old men yelling on the lawn because we're in the same mindset. However, I'm not shocked because of it's the wrestling. It's sports, dude. And I'm giving you these examples of some of your favorite players that also didn't finish their careers there. Maybe they could settle it. Like I said, he could just sit back and wait. Hopefully he saved his money. He could sit back and this, and he knows this is chess. And where do I want to move my pieces? And I'm going to sit back and I'm going to relax. And I'm going to let my body heal. I'm going to get in even better shape than I'm already in. And I'm going to, you know, see where this road takes me. You never know what could happen tomorrow or whatever. It's just sometimes sitting back and waiting for the best opportunity. That can be good. But in this current marketplace, it's harder than ever. If I'm, again, Tony Khan, you sit back and you look at it and just say, like, where do I want to go? Or if we're at this stalemate for a financial number, hey, I can't do that right now. I'm sorry. I'd love to have you a part of it. But, you know, maybe when our new deal is up with television, we'll do this. It'll be great if he comes back. It'll be, you know, I tell this when people wanted to leave an Impact. Cool, leave. The place will still be here. You'll be a bigger star when you come back, if they want you. If they don't want you, then you became a better wrestler when you're working in NXT. But the market is now different than it was 2 years ago.
Agreed. I know. And I completely understand that. But for me, AEW is better with Cody a part of it. I don't know, let's just say if Cody went to the WWE, if it would make that much of a difference to the WWE. Cody makes a much bigger impact with AEW than he could ever do with the WWE. WWE is a machine, man. Everybody's just a spoke in the wheel. I hate saying it that way, but the WWE is a machine.
Yeah, you're right. Could he, man, you can have a lot of great moments for him. Like I said, man, give the guy the ball and he'll deliver for you. He will deliver. He's a star. But let's see if he's given that opportunity, if he goes there. That's why if you just sit back and chill, you can sometimes call your own shots. Or maybe this is all a ruse and he's going to come back as the Midnight Rider.
Anything is possible. That would be phenomenal. That would be phenomenal. If I was going to make a list of the top 10 AEW moments, probably half those moments, if not more, involve Cody Rhodes. Yes or no?
I haven't made my top 10 list yet, but I would have to think of a few, yes.
I'm heartbroken today. I got to be honest. I'm a little I feel a little jaded. I feel like somebody just dumped me.
Well, and you also got to understand, this is like the first talent we're losing.
Yeah, but it's fucking Cody. Like, you know, okay. No disrespect. Marco Stunt leaves AEW. Okay. Cody Rhodes? Cody? Am I the only one that thinks this way? Am I really the only one that thinks this way?
I think I am.
I'm looking at social media and everybody's like, well, he's going to go to WWE. Like, I love Cody in AEW. Like, you said too. He just had one of the best ladder matches I've ever seen with Sammy Guevara. That was just a couple weeks ago. 877-344-4894. Now I'll break. 877-344-4893. 877-FIGHT93. I want to hear from the nation. Am I alone in this? Am I the only one thinking this way?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same way.
Not the way you're talking. It's like, go here, go there, go everywhere. You need time. Don't you know when you lose someone, somebody breaks up with you, there's waves of anger and depression.
No.
You went right to like, all right, I'm over it. What's next? I'm not there yet, Tommy.
That's what's supposed to happen.
Well, sit down. Where are you going? Sit down. I'm not done talking to you. I'm not at the point where it's like, all right, everything's roses and unicorns and chocolate candy kisses. I'm not at that point yet. You have to go through waves of fucking shit, man. There's the anger. First of all, there's the shock. Holy shit, what just happened? And then you're angry, then you're depressed.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hall of Fame sportscaster Leslie Vissen. And if you love sports the way I do, the people, the passion, then you'll enjoy my podcast, In Conversation, every Thursday. I've drawn from 45 years of covering all sports with people like Billie Jean King and David Duchovny and the merry prankster himself, Bill Walton.
I have reached the top of the mountain. I am having a conversation with Leslie Vissen, my hero.
So please listen and subscribe wherever you stream your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Austin and Colton Gunn join us here on Busted Open. Gentlemen, good morning to you both.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. What an intro.
You like it?
I liked it.
Yeah, you know,
I
like
the music and everything.
I got to tell you guys, there's certain questions that I'm not going to ask you. There's certain phrases that are being bantied about on AEW TV that I'm not going to repeat here. We don't go there here on Busted Open. We're going to be very respectful because I try to be respectful, Tommy, to our guests. So this is a safe place for you here both on Busted Open, just so you know.
I was worried about it, but now you saying that, I'm good. My guard's down, so I'm good.
Well, if you, when you become an older grizzled vet like your father and not a young up and coming line like myself, you will start thinking in pro wrestler brain. But if you think about it, you guys really helped get Dan Housen over. You guys ones that he said a very, very derogatory thing towards you. I don't want to say it on the air. And then it just picked up. But it was really, now the guy's got a contract. I seen he's all elite. He's hanging out underneath the ring. Maybe one week he's going to pull. What if you guys, if they pull out Horn, he's holding Hornswoggle. It's like you keep on just pulling.
Just like a chain of people under the ring, just a chain of people, and they all just get contracts.
So how did that all like come about? Because I didn't know what Dan Housen was at all. I knew who he was, but like, how did this all come about? This whole thing we're not talking about.
Austin, you want to take this?
Yeah, I'll take this one. We were on a cruise and we decided to help Dan Housen once again with the comedy show. He doesn't do comedy,
but he's
like, I'm going to be the host of this thing. Who do we need? We need the two most charismatic people in the biz, Colton and Austin Gunn. I was like, we'll help you. So we get on stage and sure enough, he goes, where's Billy Term? And I was like, that's not my dad's name. It's Badass Billy Gunn. And he goes, no, it's Billy Ass and the Ass Boys. That's the only time I'll say it. And everybody went bonkers in the whole comedy, like the show. And ever since then, he hasn't shut up about it.
We made it on the cruise. Yeah.
You got him over on that one cruise. Good. And now look at him. He's going to be a thorn in your side.
One thing from us, and he just blew up. He blew up.
And now he's, like you just said, now he has a contract with AEW because of us. Because we were nice enough to help him with that comedy show on the cruise, and now he has a contract. It's crazy.
Not a thank you. Did you get a thank you, Colton?
I honestly haven't received one yet.
Still looking for it. Still looking.
Maybe he doesn't have my address or something. I don't know, but...
Well, let me ask you, maybe. But Tommy, really quick, let me ask you guys this, because, you know, Austin, you and Colton have worked your, you know, excuse the pun, but you worked your asses off, right, to get where you are, like you really did, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get your contracts, to be a part of the AEW family. And then there's Dan Housen, he comes, and he's got a con, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he's evil, he's nice, all this other stuff. Like, but you guys really worked hard to do. I mean, how does that make you feel that he just gets a contract and he hasn't really done anything? Comes out from under the ring, you know, does a couple of things with his hands. Like, doesn't do much, right?
Yeah, he like fake curses people, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what he does.
It's worked hard. We still worked hard.
The curse did happen.
Yeah, we were traveling the roads, you know, town to town.
The territories. You know about it, Tommy. Yeah. Up and down the Georgia line, dude. Me and Colton, we just paid our dues over and over, day by day. We finally, after waltzes in, because we brush him a little bit, we got to be careful with our brush, Colton. It's powerful. We got a powerful stroke here.
I know. I'm realizing that now.
Well, I know you're paying your dues because of your mentor, your father. He's the second meanest friend that I ever have. Him and Bully Ray are one and two tied, depends on the day. I've known you guys since you've been little, when I first kind of met you. And now, like, you know, you haven't been in the wrestling business all that long, but man, I watch your progression. Couldn't be happier for you guys. I've texted your dad a lot. Colton, when you and him were working against Darby and Sting, I was like, holy crap. It was next level. Also your father, man. I mean, I don't want to say he doesn't get enough credit because I don't want to blow up his ego, but you talk about paying your dues. You look at your dad and you see the size of him and you see how much time he concentrates working out. And then you see what he can still do in the ring. And I know he's like 76 years old, something like that.
Yeah. Around there.
Like, what does that mean to you? I mean, it's extra pressure because you know, he's going to tear you a new ass if you guys mess up. Because trust me, I've seen it. And I've also been a part of it when I was his partner. And I was like, thank you, Billy, for yelling at me on a show that I paid you to be my partner.
I speaking for myself, I couldn't think of a better, you know, I mean, I know he's my dad, but like a better mentor and coach. And that's how I learned. So if I do some, you know, even in the ring, he's yelling at me.
Oh, I know.
And so when you get back and he has, you know, so much knowledge and experience, and then he just, he has his way of laying it on you. So, but that helps you learn and get better and want to be better, you know, pushes you like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Next time I will 100% work on that. And that's my view from it.
Last Friday on Rampage, I know the outcome wasn't what you wanted it to be, but what was it like, you know, to be in that main event, to go for the tag team titles? What was that moment like for you? And we'll start with you, Colin. What was that night like for you in New Jersey?
It was surreal. I mean, me and Austin, that was our first, I don't know if anyone knows, but it was like me and Austin's first match on TV together. You know, we haven't been doing this very long, and just me and Austin solo, haven't wrestled that many times. So to actually be in the main event, and it was, I think it was pretty well received. And I think we did a good job, even though we didn't win. I mean, I would love to have won, but I was very excited and very proud. And when me and Austin were little, wrestling on a queen size mattress, you never think you'd be in the main event wrestling for the title. So it was just surreal is the word I would use.
Yeah, I agree. Tommy, what you're saying about like being a second generation, it's like me and Colton haven't been in this that long, and Colton actually started after me. So it's even though I'm his little brother, it's kind of like I've learned some things that he hasn't yet. And being in such a tough situation as a second generation, people are just waiting for you to fail, waiting for you to mess up. They don't want to see you succeed. They don't want you to do good. Like, so that's just the nature of this business. But me and Colton have always been good at just keeping our head down, going to training when we're off the road every single day, working out every day with the grumpiest man on earth. But at the same time, it's just like, are we making him happy? Like, are we doing what we're supposed to do? The job we are given, how can we make it the best possible? And going out there and just right when we came out of the tunnel, everybody was cheering that term that we don't like. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're off to the races now. Like, this is going to be a really good match. And just being in there with Colton, it was just so cool because we were just so calm and collected at the same time, which normally people aren't this early in the biz, but it was for the titles, baby. That was awesome to be in there with Colton.
I'll tell you a quick story. It was your father and myself versus the Young Bucks in Australia for my own company. We had a lot of people, maybe close to 3,000. And I'm wrestling with, I think, Nick. And I do all this stuff, and your father goes, I'm go to tag him in. And he goes, did you have to do all that stuff right there? Now I got to do a lot. And I tag him, and then he goes and does stuff. And he goes, I didn't have to do a lot. See, and I'm still way more over than you. Tags me back in. And then I go and I do Road Dog stuff. And all he starts doing is going, no, 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 not over. You're the shits, not over. And like me and the Young Bucks are laughing, and your father is berating me at ringside. And then I tag him and I go, you're so mean. Why did I even bring you here? And also, we roomed together for 5 days.
That's the worst part of it all. Not the match.
Just living with him in a hotel room.
I was with a stranger in prison. We had separate beds, and I would wake up. He's very routine. Let's go to the gym. Let's eat 10,000 things all day. And I'd be like, hey, do you want to watch like old wrestling? And he's like, are you kidding me? I hate that stuff. And I was like, I forced him after day two to start watching old wrestling. And he then critiqued it like it was currently happening. And then he also told me I was the shits. So that was a fun 5 days.
It seems like
that
such a vacation.
That doesn't surprise me.
And I paid him to do that.
Wow. What a 5-star resort. Hey, by the way, your new roommate is Billy Gunn. Congratulations.
When I come out purposely and I take off my shirt and I'd start flexing in his face and he'd throw something at me.
Well, me and Colton get berated all the time after matches. So I understand that. I mean, recently Colton, Dark, like we got in the back. And we just looked at each other because I knew because he came just running up to me and I was like, oh, here we go. Just sit down and take it. And I sat there for about 15 minutes getting yelled at. And I looked over his shoulder. Every single one of our coaches in AEW was sitting there watching Dad just rip me a new one. But that's how I learned best, coming from football.
Hey, does anyone want to step in here? Anybody?
Does he still get the white yes. stuff on the side of his lips because he's so got dry mouth from yelling at you?
Yes.
Yes.
I think a little bit was flying on me, and I was just kept doing this. He didn't get the memo. I was just like, yes, Dad, absolutely. What did I do wrong?
Whenever I want to get him mad, you know what I do? I just go, pa-pew, pa-pew, and I shoot the fake smoking guns thing, and he gets so mad. He's like, and he turns, he gives you that great Thanos dinosaur face that he has, and he's like, I will kill you.
It sounds
on the indies, when I did a couple indies, I used to come out to the smoking guns theme song and not tell him about it. So when he was watching my match and the stands are behind it, he'd be like, what are you coming out to? And I go, just wait a second.
All right. So what's next? Besides, I feel you got to go after Danhausen, but what's next for you two that you want? I personally think you turn on your father. That's just me. But what's next for you guys within AEW? You lost. You're no longer the number one contenders. So what are you going to do?
Colin, you go ahead.
I mean, Danhausen keeps blaming that his leg is broken or something. So he keeps ducking us. So we got to wait till he's healed up, I guess, to go after him. But I think the ultimate goal is to win the title. So however we can get back to that is what me and Austin are going to try to do and just continue to work on our craft and get better. Cause obviously we weren't good enough to win them now, but we will be. So
I like kind of the formula that's going on in AEW. A lot of guys, we say repetitions make you better. And a lot of, you know, I know you guys work a lot of AEW dark. It's still on television. It's still in front of a live audience, and you kind of build up your victories there. And then they start kind of pushing you. Cause I mean, in the sense of there's a lot of talent and there's only so many hours of television. So you really do have to earn your spot. And when you think about your accomplishment, you guys earned the main event of Rampage. So like when we say about paying your dues, and you've earned that, it wasn't just given to you. Your father could be whoever the hell he is, but it's not going to make you guys are doing it in the ring on your own. Yes, you have a crazy coach, but you're earning that spot. And that's how you have to kind of always think in that mindset, because nothing, as you guys know, in this business is handed to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been just groomed that way our entire life. And especially when I decided to get into business, it's like nothing's going to get given to you just because you're Billy Gunn's son. Or now that Colton got into it, it's just like we've always had that mentality. But you're right. It's like as annoying as it is getting yelled at and berated sometimes when you think you did a good job and you're like, no, like this is what you should have done or stuff like that, as over and over. And sometimes it gets really annoying and sometimes it gets really frustrating and you feel down on yourself. But when you finally make it to that main event and you're like, oh, this is what Dad's been talking about the entire time. He's just been prepping us for this moment. And when I got to the back, I looked at Cole and I was like, yeah, that's what it's all about right there. It's like, yeah, in the moment, sometimes we feel like, oh, damn, we're so like down on ourselves. But then Dad's just been prepping us for like these really important moments. We're on the spotlight. We're getting shown around the world. So to see, he's been doing a great job with us and I can't thank him enough for it.
Yeah, before we let you go, Austin, we got to ask you about the reality show that you're involved with, Ranch Rules. I'm guessing here, Tommy, and you would know a lot more than me. I think Colton's more of like a chill guy, kind of a laid back. Austin, maybe a little bit more of a, you know, not troublemaker, but you know where I'm going. So Austin, what's it like being a part of this show? And man, getting to know Pat Benatar's daughter. Are you kidding me? Like Pat Benatar, I loved her as a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think my mom was more excited when I told her than I was. She flipped out. She's a huge Pat Benatar fan. But being on that ranch was just a different experience. It's like you're in the wrestling world. You're so comfortable with training and like you have your routine when it comes to wrestling. And then you're getting thrown on a ranch. And Tommy, you know this. Dad has ranch experience and rode bulls. And And going in there, I was just like, you know what? Give me every dirty job, because I know these LA kids aren't going to want to do it. I was like, if I can do every job and be in every little thing on that ranch, then I get more TV time. I was like, you're just seeing this 24/7. I was like, sign me up for whatever. And unfortunately, I didn't know I had to artificially inseminate a cow. So that was a little disgusting. But like, yeah, I was ready for it all. Riding horses, doing all sorts of stuff.
Well, episode 7, I'm sorry, Tom, really quick. Episode 7 airs tonight on E! If you're going to be watching Dynamite, use your DVR. It's on E! 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate the time. Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Neri Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.